Our Father, we thank you because of your word that's coming forth to our hearts this evening. We thank you because you will cause that word to multiply abundantly. Now you cause our lives, Father, to be a manifestation of the truth that is in that word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's quickly run off with what we have to do today. What I will be sharing with us on is a continuation of what we have been speaking about in the last few sessions, and that's on destined to reign. We have explained that God's plan, but I think I should just go over a few points that we have been able to get across clearly on the matter. And number one is the fact that God has a purpose. We read from Isaiah chapter 45. When we're reading Isaiah chapter 45, we read that he said that I have sworn, and the word has gone forth from my lips and will not return to me. What did I swear? He said that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. He said they will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. He said men will come to him, and all who were angry at him will be put to shame. In the Lord all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. That's from verse 24 of Isaiah chapter 45. So we explained there that God has a purpose, and that he has said in Psalm 110, he said that sit at my right hand. He was speaking to the Lord. In fact, the way the psalmist said it, it was simple. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. He said, the Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Now, what I want to bring out from there is that God has a purpose. God has a purpose. He has proposed something very strongly in his heart, and he has sent the word forth, which will bring that into pass. And that word is that to him, every knee will bow, and every tongue will swear allegiance. Now, when we're examining this, we read from Revelation chapter 17, and that was describing again the purpose of God. He said that is the way by which God will do the thing he's about to do. If you read Revelation chapter 11, there, he said that the whole earth has become the kingdom, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And we explained, reading from Revelation chapter 17, that this is how this will happen. Yes, Jesus will take over, but there is a way by which he will do it. In Revelation chapter 17, he was describing the kings that gave the authority to the beast. And he said they will wage war against the Lamb, but that the Lamb will overcome because he is the Lord of lords and he is King of kings. And we explained that the reason why he will overcome is because of the lords and the kings that he's reigning over. That in the same manner that the kings gave the authority to the beast, these ones also will give the authority to the Lamb. And that these lords and the kings are the believers that Jesus has caused to be born on the earth. He said that I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders. Now, so that we explain that, and I emphasize very strongly explaining that Jesus is not going to reign per se by his own power. But what will happen is that he told the disciples, all power in the heavens and on the earth has been given unto me. He said, go therefore, that is, I am giving you my power and my authority. Go and take over kingdoms. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the end of the earth before the end will come. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what am I bringing up from there? That he has empowered the people to go and overcome. That is, it's as those people overcome and receive authority on this earth, that they will now subject the authority that they have received to the king, to their king. So there are many kings, therefore, they will now give their own authority to the king. And it is with their authority that the Lamb will overcome. We explained that in previous sessions, and I explained it very well. Now, the thing we said last time was what we discussed on the topic. What was the topic again? Grace for promotion. Yes, and I explained that, I would like to summarize that in just a few sentences, that God is not going to promote people just because they are his children. That it is not that God will look and say, I don't care how bad they are, once they name the name of Christ, they will be the head and not the tail. That is his purpose, actually, that every one of his child will be a head and not the tail. But the way he will do it is that he will pour forth the spirit of excellence upon all of them, and it is with those undeniable abilities that even the world will consciously crown these people as kings and as lords. So that's very important we get that clear. Our good example was Daniel. Another example we used was Joseph. That the lives of these two people, something was found in it. That in fact, when they were going to describe Daniel, the king of the mother of the king, that's Belteshazzar, came to the king when there was a problem. He said, "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him." Let me quickly summarize it. In verse 12, he said, "This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and most importantly, the solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel." Now, it is because of that God appointed, that is, the king followed the purpose of God and appointed Daniel as ruler virtually over all the land. In fact, the time they plotted against Daniel, it was because the people found out, that is under the reign of Darius, that Darius was about to enthrone Daniel over everything that was happening. And because of that, the people plotted. Now, but there was a reason why Darius wanted to enthrone Daniel. It was not because he liked him and there was just a glory upon his face. No. It was because he found the man to be excellent in everything that he did. He found that this was a man he could commit every affair of the state into his hand and he would suffer no loss. In fact, when the people were trying to bring up an allegation against him, the Bible testifies that in the matters of the state, in the matters of the king, in the matters of administration, in the matters of finances, there was no lapse, no negligence, no corruption was found in Daniel. But everything that he did with excellence. That was what we explained last time, and I believe that we got the point. And anybody that's listening to this that was not here then can easily get the tape or the CD of the previous message, or go there to the internet and listen to it free of charge. All right. Now, having put those points in place, I want to go on to something else today. I want to title today's message, Wisdom for the Upright. Now, remember, we have established that God needs his kings and his lords to be able to fulfill his purpose on the earth. That he is not trying to, that's the second thing, is that he's not trying to empower people that have no substance, but rather he's pouring forth the spirit of excellence into the people that he's empowering. That is the second thing. And that it is by this spirit of excellence inside them that the people will become undeniable heads. That even those who don't like them, like those who were against Daniel, they recognize that Daniel was still the head. Now, so I want to go on from there and talk about what I call wisdom for the upright. And in starting out, I'd like to read a few portions of the scriptures that are very important. First of all, let us read from Isaiah chapter 2. Now, in this, we are talking more again upon on the issue of the plan of God, Isaiah chapter 2. Now here, if we read from verse 2, it said, "Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For the Lord will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many peoples. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war.'" Please listen to this very carefully. He said, "Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob." Why? "Because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners." Now, let me just stop there. We may read the rest of it at another time, but I want to emphasize something here again about the purpose of God for this life. God said it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and everybody will run to it, and they will say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us concerning his ways and that we may walk in his paths. There is something I want to explain today which is very important, and I believe that everybody should listen to this very carefully. There is one problem Christians have, and it is not just a problem of Christians, it's a problem of human beings, which Christians learned, you know, being human beings, they carried it into the practice of Christianity. If you go into most of the occult, what, you know, what goes on in there, nobody understands. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, Christianity has deep things. Now, let me get that clear. There are things in Christianity that are deep that most people can't understand. However, it is not because God is hiding them. It is because people have not yet done what is necessary to come to understand the ways of God. Now, let me say this again. God is not abstract like other religions practice, you know. What they stand for, you don't understand. You find somebody says he's a monk. You know, he lives as a hermit somewhere. He's not imparting his generation. Now, he claims to be having the knowledge of God, but that knowledge we have already seen here is not bringing anything down to the earth. Therefore, his knowledge is irrelevant. Do you understand the point I'm making? And Christianity is not like that. We are not, as believers, supposed to walk around feeling as if what we are doing, nobody can understand. Now, listen to this. Indeed, what you will do that nobody will understand will be done in secret. That's what I want to understand. That is, your faith, I'm not saying everybody will be able to understand it. In fact, Jesus said, do not cast your pearls before swine. That is, don't go to people who have no understanding of faith and be declaring your faith to them, expecting them to have understanding. Now, if you are not allowed to do that, then how come you are going to be able to witness to the whole world? Because Jesus said, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Look, listen, if you go and read the book of Acts, when Philip went to the city of Samaria, the people gave heed to his words. When they saw these miracles and the signs that were done by his hands, Paul said, I did not come with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration, and that's what I want to understand. I want to underscore. In the demonstration of spirit and power. That is, it is a demonstration that God expects you to use to witness to this generation. That's what I'm coming to. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? It is the demonstration of the spirit. Now, that word is what I want to emphasize. Demonstration. Spiritual things can be demonstrated. You know, I was teaching my medical students during the week, and I was explaining something to them that one of the ways you know a fresh doctor that doesn't know too much is that if you tell him to come and explain some medical issues to the lay public, the people gathered are not doctors. They are not nurses. They are not pharmacists. They are not people that are enlightened in the things of medicine. An inexperienced doctor that doesn't know much, we go there and start speaking big words. He will start telling them about salmonella. He will start telling them about incubation period. He will be explaining difficult words about flagella, things that people cannot relate with. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, he will not be able to communicate to the people because he himself does not have a deep understanding of the things that will happen. I told you, Kingsley, some time ago, I went to testify before a judicial panel headed by the current chief judge of Enugu State. He was the chairman of that panel, and it was upon some autopsies I had conducted. And as I read out my report, while the lawyer was cross-examining me, I would tell, now, after reading out the report, I'll say, please let me explain. And I noticed that this learned judge put his hand like this and was listening with utmost attention. There were about 7 people on the panel. And anyway, let me cut the story short. At the end of the day, when I finished the testimonies, he said, doctor, I must confess that I thought these things were not understandable by people until you came today. That is, I will read out my report, what is written in there. I said, now let me break it down to you. And in simple words, I will tell the man exactly what I am saying. And the man, look, you mean? He will look and like, you mean this thing is as simple to comprehend? Yes, because I understand what I'm saying. Do you understand the point I'm making there? I am aware of the concepts therein. I am not a young doctor who has just learned little. I know the depths of the things that I am saying. Do you follow me? So when I relate to a man that is a layman in my field, I am able to persuade him, not with enticing words of wisdom, but rather by demonstration of the depth of my understanding. Do you get the point I'm making there? That is, it is not that Look, Oga, you know, this is a medical issue, and since you are a legal man, you can't understand. Let me just leave it. Just take my word for it. Take my word for it. This was what killed the man. That's not the point. It's not just take my word for it. No. I know what I am saying, and I can persuade you by the things that I understand. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. That is, God is not expecting us to walk like we are not on this earth. In fact, one of the reasons why I enjoy Oswald Chambers so much is that he emphasizes these things to Christians. That you can go up on the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, and see God face to face. But you still have to come down from the mountain and relate with men on their level. Do you follow my point? That is, you will not go there describing what is going on the Mount of Transfiguration. But what you saw on the Mount of Transfiguration will affect your life as it is present before them. And they will see it and know that indeed you have been somewhere that we did not get to. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, Daniel walked before the king, and the king's wife noticed that this man had an excellent spirit. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar appointed Daniel because wherever you are getting this wisdom from, I don't understand it, but the wisdom is real. In fact, it is like you have the spirit of the holy gods. Are you getting me? But Daniel was not walking before him saying that, king, you cannot understand what is going on. That was not what Daniel was doing. What Daniel was doing was simple. There is a problem. Daniel will provide a solution. They have kingdoms with hundreds of millions of people inside. How do we account from the revenue from every corner? Daniel will provide a solution. At the end of the day, when you gather all the accountants in the land, they will not be able to bring out the solution that Daniel will bring out in a second. Do you understand my point? So the king looked and said, inside this man dwells the spirit of the holy gods. I was watching during the week. Richard Quest of CNN was in Nigeria. So they are airing the interviews and the things he encountered in Nigeria right now on CNN. And they, you know, he had an interview with the finance minister, Okonjo-Iweala. And what I'm bringing out the issue was the issue of corruption. And they brought out the issue of corruption. And the woman explained the problems with corruption and how much the president is doing about it. And something came to my mind, the spirit of Daniel. I said that, you see, this is what God is saying. When his man gets there, and you just appoint this man to a place, and God will just give him one little bit of wisdom, and that will solve corruption in 1 year that Nigeria have not been able to battle to overcome for decades. Are you getting my point? It is not that the man will come out before national broadcast and say, let us speak in tongues for 5 minutes. Warm up your spirit. Everybody speak in tongues. Shogolo, 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 shogolo. That is not the issue. He can speak in tongues in his bedroom. But when he comes before the Council of State, when he comes before the Executive Council, he will have a word to speak that will solve the problem of the nations. Where he got the word from is not their business, but he will have that word. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that was why the Bible was saying here, it said, in the last days, people will come to such people and say, teach us the ways. Now, get this point clear. It is because they recognize that these things can be taught. Do you follow the point I'm making? The things can be taught. Let me say something to you clearly. God made... Now, open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 8. Now, this is very important. Now, wisdom was speaking. I want to read the words of wisdom from verse 12. He said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. He said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. Now listen to this carefully. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Listen, power is mine. Now I want you to notice that word power. That is, by the understanding I produce, power will be released upon the earth. Now get this clear. That is, if it is electricity that is a problem, by my understanding, you will generate electricity. Are you getting my point? If it is violent crime that is a problem, by my understanding, you will generate enough power to overcome violent crime. He said, I am understanding. Power is mine. Listen, by me, kings reign. Follow that. And rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me. Now, please, verses 15 and 16, let me go by it again. We are talking about destined to reign. And God is saying here, the only way by which a king will reign is by wisdom. Listen, there are two things that confer authority upon you on the earth. Number one, you can just be stated as having authority. That is one. Number two, there will be a demonstration of your ability to hold authority.
So that people will submit to themselves. People will submit to you by themselves. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Samuel, I told you last time, was never declared before everybody, this is the next ruler of Israel. Nobody called him this prophet of God in Israel. What just happened was that the Bible says that none of the words that he spoke fell to the ground. God ensured that everything that Samuel said, he confirmed it. And the people observed it. And by themselves, they subjected themselves to Samuel. The same thing with David. God anointed David as the king after Saul. That was another issue. But before the people crowned David as king, they themselves came and opened their mouth and said, while Saul was alive, we had noticed that you are the one that was defending us. You are the one that was really our leader. We have seen the power of God demonstrated in your life. My pastor in Lagos was saying something many years ago when I was in Louth. He came there to teach. He was talking about this demonstration of power that I'm talking about. He didn't use these words, but get what I'm saying clearly. He said he was supposed to take over in a fellowship that somebody else started when he was on campus. Now, because he was a relatively younger person as a believer than other people, and even more, a newer member of the fellowship, yet the founding guy who was about to leave the school and go abroad said, this is the man who will take over. The people who were senior to him were not happy with the idea. Are you getting what I'm trying to say there? So, he told them that, let us solve the problem. Let nobody claim authority. Let's just go there and perform. I don't know why you get what I'm saying. He said, so the simple thing is that everybody started preaching. And after he preached for a while, the whole fellowship knew that indeed the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That it is not by shouting, I am the head. No. Solve a problem that all the tails and the necks and the bodies could not solve. Then they will know you are the head. Do you follow me? I mean, if you have been to school, you will know some lecturers that are so good that even if they are not your lecturer, you will listen to what they are saying. Yet, you will know some who are confirmed professor. The man will talk something, you will just turn your nose like he doesn't know what he's saying. He bears a title, but he does not have the power to demonstrate that authority. Are you getting what I'm saying there? So he said, the wisdom was speaking, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. He said that power is mine. Understanding is mine. Now, let me just go on. Emphasis, let me go down to the point I want to make. Verse 22. He said, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. He said, from everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Now, I want you to understand something here. Now, let me just read some more. Let me read 27. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea's boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, notice verse 30, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight. Now, let me stop there. There's something I'm trying to bring out here. Here, the Lord was explaining the principle of creation, and he was saying that it was by wisdom I did this thing. That's what I was saying in effect. That is, there is a technique. Now, get that word. There is a technique by which I made the skies stand above. Do you understand my point? He said, there is a technique by which I spoke to the waters not to cross a particular area. There is a way by which I do these things. Now, most of us have looked at it as if God has just spoken. It is just his word. Now, I agree with that. You have heard me teach about the word of his power. But what I want to emphasize here is this. When God does work, listen, he can teach the wisdom on how to repeat it to somebody else. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to this very carefully. God has methods for doing things. Now, the methods grow, they vary in levels. There are basic ones that God can teach to people. Now, let me explain that what I'm saying very clearly here. When he was talking about wisdom, he was talking about practical methods by which things can be done. I don't know whether you're following me. Listen. Let us assume that God wanted to make the sun. Thank you very much. So in one word, he said, let the sun be. But the word, now listen to this. The word was full of power. Do you understand my point? Because like Gabriel said, no word of God shall be void of power. Every word that God gives is full of power. Now this guy here is saying wisdom. That understanding is mine. Power is my own. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is when he said, let the sun be. There were things that were released in the words of the sun that we now currently call nuclear fission. And physicists have been able to decode up to a particular level. Do you understand my point? That is, the sun is shining. But physics learned it so much that they can tell you the methods by which the sun is shining. I don't know whether you are getting me. That is, God made the sun by wisdom. Then he took a bit of the wisdom he used to make the sun and put in the heart of somebody. And the person created this very tiny size of sun that did not last for more than 10 seconds. But it is a small sun. And it worked. You call it an atomic bomb. The same thing that blew up Hiroshima is what blows up in the sun constantly. That we go for generations, for millions of years, and will not end. But a little bit of the degree of wisdom with which God did it, he gave to somebody. That is why he said, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. That when God creates, if he tells you the most basic, the most foolish of the methods for creation, and you use it on the earth, you will create something no human being has ever seen before. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, wisdom with God is not abstract. The problem is that we are unable to comprehend the depths of his wisdom. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, there is no problem on earth that does not have a technology of solving. Now listen to this. It is those technologies of solution that God gave to Joseph, and people recognize that indeed the Spirit of God must be inside him. Are you following my point? That is, everything happening on the earth, there is a creative ability necessary to bring an end to a problem. Everything that is needed on earth, there is a creative ability necessary to bring solution to that particular thing. What God does is to give one of his kings and his lords a small fraction of the creative wisdom that gives a person power on the earth. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is, listen, what do you call it? Lightning. Lightning that if it flashes once, it will illuminate the whole horizon. It uses exactly the same principle as in current inside your house. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, the first man to invent a capacitor. Listen to this. I've forgotten his name now. What do you call a capacitor? It's something that, okay, let me say a battery. All right? Something that can store a charge, like a battery. The first man to invent it, when he touched it, the electricity he received, he described it as jolting like a thunderbolt. Are you getting my point? That is, God allowed him a little bit of wisdom and he was able to create lightning. Now, every day, God blows lightning in the skies. By his wisdom, he has put lightning in place. So he said, okay, guys, if you want a lightning flash to take photographs, I can give you a little bit of wisdom to make it. So he puts a little bit of wisdom inside somebody. And because of the capacity in human beings to learn that God created them to have, do you follow me? That capacity allows somebody to design a small lightning. He puts it on top of a camera and is able to give you a flash of light. It is the same thing. There is no difference between the lightning in the camera and the one that's inside the skies. What am I saying? The creative power of God can be broken down into wisdom steps. The only thing is that human beings can never, no matter how much you try, get to the full extent of God's creative abilities. Do you understand my point? But he has created you to be able to receive a little bit of it. So God will give you a small wisdom and the whole legal problems of Nigeria will be solved in a week. And you say, how did he do it? He said, my God, I don't know for that fellow. There is a spirit inside him. The inspiration of the Almighty did what? Gave him understanding. And wisdom said, understanding is mine. When I give you understanding, you produce power. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is why all the original scientists of the earth were Christians. The people that downloaded things from heaven, it was given to them by God. I told you about laser beams. That the man, Charles Townes, who invented the laser, he said he sat down in a park and inspiration came upon him. He went to his laboratory and began to work. A few years down the line, they invented what you now call laser. Get me? Laser is just light, simple light. But they developed the method to concentrate it in a particular fashion that you can burn through metal with light. I remember when I was in school then, our urologist, he was telling us about laser surgery. He said if you are using laser, if you are doing a laser surgery, you have to be careful that the laser beam does not enter anybody else's eyes because it will blind the man. A little bit of power with understanding that God gave the man, he invented what you call laser. Now all of us read compact disc. We do all kinds of things with that same thing called laser. Why? Because by the inspiration of the Almighty, he got a little bit of wisdom and then something came out of his being that was a creative power on the surface of the earth. Are you following my point? What I'm saying isn't coming with you clearly. That is, you see, Christians don't understand that God is not trying to... Listen. God told Moses, in the wilderness, I gave you manna which you did not know. But in the promised land, there's no manna. You will cultivate the earth. I will teach you the techniques of agriculture. I don't know whether you're getting the point I'm making. That is, when you get to the promised land, what will make you different from the other people is that by the wisdom I will give you, where their own land produces one bushel of grain, yours will produce 50. That is the reason why they will come and say, hey boys, let us just go to Israel. Let us go to the house of Jacob, or the house of the God of Jacob, that he might teach us his ways. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, it is not that we just do like this. No, I told that Christians, they don't want to grow up. They are living in the wilderness. Do you get my point? They are living in the wilderness, living by miracles. You understand? Brethren, just stretch forth your hand and something is going to happen. Listen to me, it is a wilderness life. First you become sick, then he cures your sickness. It's wilderness life. He said first he will make you hungry and then he will feed you with manna that you did not know where it came from. It is a life of the wilderness. The proper life is that you will go to a mountain, to a land, that the mountain, he said, out of the hills you can dig copper. You have to dig it. The copper will not rain from heaven. You will dig it. Do you get the point I'm making? It said that it is watered by the rains of heaven, but you have to plant. It said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Do you follow my point? What wisdom gives you is the ability to manipulate seed time so that when harvest time comes, you will have an abundance of harvest. That's why I told Adam at the beginning, cultivate it and keep it. It was not sit down and harvest the fruit. We used to think that God made Adam so that he would just roam around the garden. Eve, what do you want to eat today? That one said, I want to eat cucumbers with grapefruit and mangoes. Then he would go around, go and look for cucumbers. No, that was not it. The design of God is that one day, Eve will be far away, Adam will be somewhere else. And Adam will whip out his mobile phone, dial Eve and say, where are you? He said, I'm with your children. Do you get the point I'm making? The design of God is that one day Adam will say, why will hot water not run in my house? And he will invent the methods of producing electricity, which God will give him as a dose of wisdom. Do you follow the point I'm making? What am I saying? That is the spirit of excellence that will crown the people of God as kings. Not to network as a cult, you know what I mean? As a Christian, I only patronize Christians. No. That is a cult. That's a cult activity. What God wants from Christians is that even unbelievers will patronize you because they wouldn't have a choice. That if they want something good, they have to patronize you. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what God wants from Christians. It is not to... Oh, listen. I've told you, this one of advertising miracles, people are always looking for miracles, is a wilderness life. Listen to me. I am not saying it's an evil life. It's a stage in life. People have to learn to go beyond that stage in life. A point must come in your life when you will realize that I am not going to wait to be hungry, then to be fed with manna. No, that I will cultivate the land and God will pour water upon the seed that I have sown and I will bring forth the harvest. Are you getting me? That where other people are getting a hunger, and listen to me, it is not just that I don't know, my own things are just like this. Like where everybody's getting 10, I get 50. No, God will say, listen, this is the problem. This land is not fertile. He said, what will I do? Do shifting cultivation. It's technology. Do you understand my point? That he said, listen, now, next year, I don't want to plant corn. Plant legumes. I want legumes to fertilize your land back for you. We think God just works by these spontaneous miracles. Now, listen, he does only as a wilderness period. You understand my point? Then a time comes to grow to maturity. Because that is the reason why people will come to you and say, come and teach us his ways. It can be learned. The problem is that people don't remember to acknowledge the source of wisdom. Do you understand my point? Like we were saying the other day, that he said, behold, it is the Lord thy God. Thou shalt remember. It is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. The wealth will not rain from heaven. Do you follow what I'm saying? What God will give is what? The power to get it. So when God gave Bill Gates Windows, it was his power to get wealth. If God gives you the ability to solve problems, that one becomes your power to get wealth. Do you understand my point? And listen, when God puts a spirit inside you, you can teach other people the methods. The problem is this. Now let me say the difference is that because you have the spirit, you have a spirit of constant innovation. Anybody learning from you is always behind you. Do you get the point I'm making? You have that spirit. So every time you get to an obstacle, you have the spirit. You will decode the next level of wisdom to use. Then they will follow you and learn the wisdom. But they can only keep on walking until a new obstacle comes. Then they call you again. Do you understand my point? Listen, Daniel was out of power for a period. And the kingdom was prospering. Why? I believe, this is my opinion, that the man had instituted so much of proper methods of administration and accounting and development that he had taught everybody else in Babylon. So at the point in time, they felt they could do without Daniel. So they retired him. So the man went home and sat down. Then one day, a new problem came. And with all the wisdom he had taught them in their schools, that they had learned the principles of Daniel, a new one came and they had no answer. What shall we do? They had forgotten Daniel. They were using his methods, but they had forgotten him. Now listen, this is why these advanced nations still prosper despite the fact that they deny God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The thing that God has given them is still working. It will continue to work. There's only one problem again. One day, the Spirit of God will blow upon it. And you need new wisdom to go beyond that obstacle. And if you have denied God, all of you, that is where you will end. Because life is always moving. After some time, new challenges will come. If you have detached yourself from the source of life, from the source of inspiration, from the source of wisdom, you will thrive for a period until the new challenges arrive. And that's it. That's the end of wisdom. You don't have it anymore. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm reading all of this to bring out one serious point. That the principle of creation, let's say, I wish people would understand what I'm saying. It is not that God just did like this, wham. Listen, I've had a number of computer experiences in my life. You understand? If you come to my house, there's an old compact. You know, an old compact. The processor is 233 megahertz. And the RAM is 16 megabytes. Now, the one I use after that, which I still use right now, this one you are seeing here, is Pentium 3, 750 megahertz. Now, listen, from 233, this is 750. And the RAM is 128. Now, follow what I'm saying. Now, the other one, the RAM is 32. Now, if you're working on the other one, and let me say you want to save a document, please try and use this one to understand what I'm saying. You will see, okay, let me say, I want to copy something from a floppy disk onto the hard disk. You will see the progress bar moving slowly. You understand? As the thing is copying, then it will finish. If it's on this one, you hardly see zoom. The thing has gone. Now, there is a new computer I have in my office. That one is a Pentium 4. There is about 2 gigahertz of processor. That is, it is about 2.5 times the speed of this one. And if it's that one I want to use for copying, the progress bar does not show at all. It actually shows, but it's so fast you can't see it. Now imagine a scenario in which I use a 10 gigahertz processor. That is, before I imagine to do it, it has finished doing. Do you understand my point? This is the principle of creation I'm telling you about. God says, let that be. God is operating on an infinitium amount of processing speed. So before he says, let there be, the thing has appeared. But if you could slow it down, you will see the progress bar going. Do you understand my point? God said, you cannot have the creative ability I have to do it the way I do it. But I will slow things down so much and give you a small Pentium half. Then with that Pentium half, you come to the earth with your processor speed that compared to mine is so slow. That is what is called the foolishness of God. Do you understand my point? Then you come amongst men with the same creative ability, but on a much slower scale. You will start inventing things. Now, get my point. There is no electricity. God will give you the knowledge of hydroelectricity. So you use water to generate electric power. Then one day God gives somebody a higher knowledge. Then he uses fire to generate power. Then one day God gives somebody even a higher knowledge. The same technology that brought about the sun. A tiny little infinitesimal dose of it creates for them nuclear power. Are you getting my point? That was why some physicists thought that there is no God. Because they began to understand the wisdom of creation. So they said, we can do it. It's just that we don't have enough knowledge yet. That if we continue to progress, we'll be able to do it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I want you to understand that. What happened was that God gave them a bit of knowledge. Actually, God must have given it to somebody that knew him. Then the things of God can be learned. Now, get my point. The wisdom can be taught. God gives you the ability to invent laser. You will teach even a Muslim or an atheist to be able to do it. But that's it. His own will stop there. Then one day will come, his laser will stop working. And he will wonder, why is this thing no longer working? But because he didn't have the wisdom from God, he can't solve it. Then he has to call you back. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, what God wants to do for his people is that, listen, in Genesis chapter 1, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. Then verse 2 said, the earth became without form and was void. Now, that became is the correct word, all right? Most Bible say was, all right? But he said, the earth became without form and was void. And darkness came upon the surface of the deep. Now, what am I saying? In Nigeria right now, God created the heavens and the earth, and it's okay. The judicial system is without form and it is void. Now, what am I saying? In Nigeria right now, God created the heavens and the earth, and it's okay. The judicial system is without form and it is void. And darkness is upon the face of the courts. Are you getting my point? Now, God will not come and say again. He will give wisdom to one little boy amongst his people and say, go and talk to them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? God created the heavens and the earth. He created the man and the woman looked at their body and said, it is good. Then the body became without form, full of cancer and degenerative diseases. We think that all the time God will always, Benihim will have to come around. No, God says, there is a technology I use to create those bodies. Let me give it to one guy. You call him a scientist and a doctor. He will bring out the cure. Are you following my point? God said that is the fastest way of processing, but it slows everything down, grinds it to a small period of about 10 years by which they develop vaccines and begin to immunize all the children, and then polio is eradicated. That is the light of God. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that walks with me will no longer walk in darkness, but shall have the light that produces life. That is, darkness was upon the business arena. Then Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Go there and solve the problem. I have lighted you, and you must not be under a bushel, but you must arise and shine. Do you get my point? That people will be able to see that this is where solution is coming from to our problems. And that is the reason why they will come and say, let us go to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he might teach us his ways. There are ways by which he does things, and the people who have understood it can be learned. Those who have learned it can easily forget where they learned it from. That's why God told them, thou shalt remember. I have told you, God does not command you concerning what is natural. The commandments of God are always against what is instinctive. Do you understand my point? That is why those who preach sexual revolution and sexual freedom in those countries, they will tell you it is natural to our bodies. I say, yes, that is correct. That's why God gave a commandment against it. That is why God has never told anybody, thou shalt eat. God has not told a woman, thou shalt love thy child. Rather, what will he say? Has a woman been able to forget her suckling child? Do you get what I'm trying to say? So God said, thou shalt remember. It is the Lord thy God that is giving you this power. What is the power? The understanding. Let's go back there. He said, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and power is mine. That is, if you listen to my counsel and my sound wisdom, and you gain my understanding, you will find power in your hands. And God said, I am the one that gave that thing to you, and it will help you to produce wealth. But people are likely to forget how it came about. Listen to me. God is the creator father. He's the creator God. He made everything. After making everything, everything became without form, and they became void. Then he spoke again and recreated. Do you understand my point? He restored. What am I saying here? Every one of his children is not only able to create, he can restore what had been destroyed. But how did God do it? He said, that's why we read the whole thing. He said, the Lord possessed me from the beginning, before his works of old. Before you can do the work of claiming the earth for God, first thing he gives is the wisdom with you to do it. Listen, the wisdom is not, I just don't know what is going on. I just do like this and things just work. No. See, I think those are romantic stories that Christians love to hear. And when God actually does things like that, they are wilderness experiences. That is, you become hungry and I feed you with manna. You know, if somebody doesn't read at all and does not know anything or missed an exam and yet he passed, he wants to come out with a testimony that God is good. He thinks that is a superior testimony. Actually, God says it's a wilderness testimony. I don't do such things normally. What I do is that even before the exam, your classmates will be bothering you to teach them. That's what I take glory from. No, we think that God likes glory of the, I'm a dullard in class, but in exam I pass. Nonsense. Do you know what God wants? Even before the exam, your classmates will say, this course is hard. Let's go and ask this guy. So that when the exam comes, they expect you to pass. That is, it is not a miracle that you passed. That is what he wants. That is, before then, he has given you the technology of reading and understanding. And you can also teach other people how to read and understand. Do you get the point I'm making here? God is not trying to live, he doesn't want us to be living at the edge. Just before I fell over, God broke through upon me. It's, like I said, a wilderness thing. He said, I fed you, you know, I made you hungry, then I fed you with manna. That was in the wilderness. He said, but when you step into the promised land, you will plant, I will water for you, then you will harvest, and your harvest will be plenteous. I will keep the devourer away. Do you get the point I'm making? But that I will teach you the technology of agriculture. That is, if the Israelites followed God, their schools of agriculture will be the best on the earth. It is not that they will say that, we don't know, we're always harvesting plenty. No, they will tell the Gentiles, come. Listen, the only way God could hinder them was to withhold rain. Go and check it. Solomon will say, when you are angry and you withhold rain, as for the technology to farm, they had it. The only power God had over it was that rain thing, rain. That, okay, use all your technology. If I don't bless it, nothing will happen. That is, they understood the principles of harvesting. They knew when to plant, when not to plant. All this cross, shifting cultivation, all those things, they must have known it. They knew how to crossbreed. You understand the point I'm making? They had the knowledge and understanding. And this is the principle of knowledge. You can impart it to somebody else, even if he's not a Christian. That is why Michael Faraday downloaded from heaven the principles of controlling electricity. The men who control electricity today, most of them are not believers. But the man who started it was a preacher, Michael Faraday. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That this is how God does things. He imparts his wisdom. And it is that impartation of wisdom that gives that man knowledge and understanding that produces power for him. He said, I am the Lord thy God that giveth thee that power. That wisdom is from me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, there's something I want to add to this, which will help us very well. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Now, you understand why Jesus said, of all men born of women, none has arisen greater than John the Baptist. He said, but one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That is, if you are in the kingdom of God, God gives you something small, a little bit. You understand my point? You come to the earth, every man will wonder that what is going on here. Deuteronomy chapter 29. There is one scripture that people quote. And a lot of time people who quote it don't understand it. It said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. I want to use to end everything I've said so far. Before I explain it, open Proverbs 25, verse 2. It said, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Now, I want to add these two to each other. That the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed unto us and unto our children. Now, get this issue. The secret things are the techniques of creation that God used. And they are his own. They are secret. Nobody knows them. But periodically, there is a revelation of it upon the earth. Do you follow what I'm saying? And once we have collected that revelation, we keep it and then teach to our children. It is not as if God has hidden everything. No. At the beginning, they are secrets. They belong to God. But the glory of kings is to go to God and search them out. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So, you know, I've seen preachers. Once they don't understand something, they hide behind that. That the secret things belong unto our God. But the ones that are revealed. So anything God has not told us, let's not bother. I said, oh God, that is not correct. That is mental and spiritual laziness. That's not right. The issue is that they belong to God. But he said the honor or the glory of kings is to be able to search those things out. And when you have set them out, they become your own property and those you teach them to. You have to get the point in the scriptures. When he said the sons, our sons, or descendants. Descendants in the Bible are not always people born by somebody. No. You are descendants of Abraham. Why? Because you are of the faith of Abraham. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Your descendant is a person who received the same spirit, usually from you. That is, if God blesses me from doing something, anybody I teach and who receives that word from my mouth, do you get my point? There is a blessing that he will get, which will be identical to the one I got. Like we said earlier, you want authority. You don't just say, Father, give me authority. The first thing he asks you is, can you pass through the things that you're supposed to pass through? You say, yes. Say, fine. Pass through it, you get the same authority. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That is, when God gives somebody a technology, now get my point. One of the problems that believers think that Christianity or spiritual things only apply to church. Like, now I'm talking about authority now. All people are thinking about is, there's one man, he casts out devils and he heals the sick by laying on of hands. That is good. But it's under authority that God gives a man who is a physicist, which enables him to invent new things. That the knowledge of new things is with him. That by virtue of the words that he will release into the scientific world, new technology will come to pass. Are you following me? There is nothing on this earth. Listen. There is nothing that men have done on this earth that God did not do first. Science is just to discover the laws that God had put in place. Science is not invention, it is discovery. Science only discovers how does this work? Why does it work like this? How can we make it work the other way? Do you understand my point? They discover all the laws that govern it. Then they now adapt it to mankind's lifestyle. That is what is called technology. Technology is the adaptation of scientific truths to improve the life of people. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, then next thing is that many things that God has done on the earth, they are still there that men have not yet discovered it. And the person who will take science to the next level is the person who will discover another thing that they did not know before. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when he will have discovered it, then he will now teach it to everybody that is of his school. Anybody who will listen to him. Then all of them start multiplying it. But this is the problem. They now forget where the wisdom came from. What am I saying? All of these things I'm saying. That God's plan is to enthrone his people, his church, his children, his prophets, by revealing to them knowledge and wisdom that the world does not know. And the world will bow down to their knowledge and their wisdom and said, the God that gave you this knowledge and wisdom. You know, I told you something before. When God gives you power, it is your responsibility to use it correctly. He won't force you on how to use it. So the man that God gives the wisdom, his responsibility is to say, it is not from me by anything that is resident inside me, but there is a spirit in me. The inspiration of my almighty Father gave me this understanding. Let them believe it, let them not believe it, but you are cleared. You have given the glory to the right place. And every day, you see, I'm a pathologist and I have seen these things happen. I remember during one of my exams, I looked at a slide during the exam. I just bowed my head. Like, what? Then the name kind of dropped in my head. I opened my eyes, looked back into the microscope. Suddenly it fitted. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is what makes you good. Listen, is that occasionally you come to difficult points like that. Everybody say, what shall we do? Even you are confused. You say, okay, let me sleep over it. Then at night you go to sleep and say, Father God, how do I handle this? Then early one morning, one idea jumps into your mind. That is wisdom from above. And listen, it usually will be clear to you that this is correct. Do you follow my point? It's not that you go like a weird fellow. Your scientific colleagues will recognize what you are saying. That is the way to move this earth forward, is to have an infusion of the Spirit of Christ. That's why I said, without me, you can't do anything. After all, by me was everything created. And without me was not anything created that was created. So if you want to create or recreate or amend, I have to give you wisdom. So he said, without me, you can do nothing. Listen, that is why the Christian will indeed be the head and not the tail. Forget all this fooling ourselves we call Christianity. It's by how long we go to church or how fantastic and outrageous a testimony we give. That's not what God is saying. I was just sitting down and money rained down from heaven. It will not happen. He said the gospel he preached to the poor, he will give the poor man wisdom that from nothing the man will create billions of dollars. And people will be able to outline, I told you before, they will now write a book on the wisdom of creating billions of dollars. And they are not wrong. It is just that they forgot that it was the Lord thy God that gave you the power to do that thing. I hope you are following me what I'm saying. That is God's purpose, and that is what he wants to do. Now, there is one last thing I want to explain, then I close this message. God was speaking, he said, that's Proverbs chapter 2. My son, he said, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. He said, for if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, this is where I'm coming to, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And I believe you have understood all of these things. The problem we had before is that believers thought that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding meant how to quote the book of Proverbs. Are you getting me? In fact, maybe I should quickly explain something. The Bible said concerning Solomon that he wrote many poems about virtually everything. He took time out to study. He went into science. I told you a story long ago that one of my teachers in secondary school told us in class that Solomon had electricity. And I thought the man was fooling himself. Until I saw an archaeological digging and they brought out what could only have been an electric cell. No wonder I said there is nothing new under the sun. Are you following what I'm trying to say? There is nothing new. Anything you do on the earth, God has done it before. No, I told you that, you see, a lot of times Americans speak. They will tell you that the Latter-day Revival started from Azusa Street. And we smile. I said, it is the one in America. And because Americans have such a great influence on the world, they thought that was it. Just like when they tell you that Mungo Park discovered the Niger. Then you say, all the people living on the China Sabah. They did not know Niger was there. They fish on it. They travel on it. And Mungo Park had to come from London to tell them this is a river. You get what I'm trying to say? All these job people, the Urobo people, the Shekiri, where were they? The Mungo Park had to come all the way from UK to come and tell them this is a river. No, what happened was that he went to tell the queen, I saw a river. And the queen put in the book, Mungo Park discovered the Niger. Then they now brought the same books to us and said, read it. And we too, we crammed it. Mungo Park. That is the beauty of prosperity. Anyway, let me go back to what I was saying. So when Americans said it, but I read this man's book, Demos Shakarian. He said when his fathers came from Armenia to America, one day they were passing looking for a job. Then they heard people speaking with tongues and they went there and said, so this thing is also here. They have been doing it for decades at home. But since prosperity did not spread from their place, they didn't write the history book, so they did not say, Israel from Armenia. Israel from Armenia. I mean, even when Robert Sladen was going to write, he said, Demos Shakarian's father was influenced by Azusa. In my mind, no, Demos Shakarian's father probably influenced Azusa. They brought it down from their own place. Now, what am I saying? That we're talking about wisdom. That people have made it appear as if wisdom is only with this you know, like when you are speaking spiritual things. But as Solomon, listen, now let's read 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. Now, God gave Solomon wisdom. Now, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind. Notice that. And breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. And he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, Heman, Calcol, and Daba, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. And this is where I'm coming to. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Notice this. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds, and creeping things and fish. Men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. What am I coming to hear? He wasn't just speaking anyhow about trees. He would like, he would tell you the biology of the tree, the life cycle, why it grows, why it does not grow, how to manipulate the tree. Spoke of animals, reproduction of animals. He would tell you how, why they grow, how to treat their diseases. That is wisdom. The Bible said God gave him the breadth of mind. And listen, Solomon in all of his glory was not as great as John the Baptist. And he said the least in the kingdom would be greater than John the Baptist. This one is news. Now, are you following what I'm saying? Now, I want to bring out a point as I close, which is what I want to close with. We were reading from Proverbs chapter 2. Okay. Now, he said, God stores sound wisdom. Now, where were we? We're in verse 6. He said, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, I was saying that this wisdom is not just to speak about he that breaketh a fence, a serpent shall bite him. No, not just that. That is the knowledge of metals, the knowledge of jurisprudence. You get what I'm trying to say? The understanding of diseases comes from the mouth of God. But this is the point. Notice verse 7. He said, he has stored up all of these for what? The upright. Verse 7 says, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. This wisdom is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Now, the Bible here says he is a shield. But I think that what he was saying is that this wisdom is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Because that's what he is. You see, it's in italics. It was just supply to fill the space. A shield to those who walk in integrity. What I want to bring out is this. Sound wisdom that we are talking about, which will take the earth to a new level, which will take every field of science, arts, social sciences, business, education to a new level. God said, I'm looking for the next upright man to give it to. Are you getting the point I'm making? There was something I said before, that sin is not God's worry. No. Just like Jesus was not the end, Jesus was what? The means to an end. He said he gave his only begotten son that he might not perish but have. Righteousness is not the end, but what righteousness does is to do certain things like delivering from death, and the work of righteousness will be peace and quiet forever. Do you follow my point? In the same manner, sin is not the issue. It is the product of sin which the Bible calls death. Turn the scripture around. Inside out, you will see what he said. Where men walk in dishonesty and they walk in iniquity, they don't have wisdom. They cannot invent anything. They live from hand to mouth. They live like men thought Adam was living, by harvesting from trees. That is, only God makes you wiser than the beast of the field, Elihu said. He said, God makes us wiser than the beast of the field. When God does not give you wisdom, you become as foolish as can be. then you become more animalistic in your instincts. Are you getting my point? People begin to do what is natural to their bodies, natural to their flesh, and they justify it that it is natural, forgetting that wisdom is to be able to do what is not natural. I told you, wisdom for the upright. Uprightness is what brings wisdom from God, because God said, this wisdom I have stored it for the upright. Now, because of my time now, I want to, maybe we'll continue from there, but let me just read one scripture that we read at the beginning, but I now want to tie it at this particular point. And that's Proverbs, Isaiah chapter, I'll close with this, probably we'll finish it next time. Isaiah chapter 2. There was something I said which I emphasized very strongly while I was speaking, when I was reading it. Verse 5. After we spoke about this wisdom, about God's plan, that he wants people to come to his children to learn. Now, let me just quickly explain that. When he said that he said, for the law will go forth from Zion. What he was saying is the proper way by which people will do things will be issued forth by the children of God, the body of Christ on this earth. He now said in verse 5, Isaiah was not speaking to his people. Do you get my point? Like I, Banky, am speaking to the children of God today. He said, house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. He said, for you have abandoned your people, talking about God, because they were filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Let me explain what I'm saying here. They are filled with influences from the east. That is, when God says one thing, they believe the other one. Are you getting what I'm saying? And let me tell you something about the word of God. God is always correct. Now, when I say correct, I don't mean that he's prophetic and he knows the future. No. If he says it is more blessed to give than to receive, he means that the principles of economics will soon find out that the giver is always more prosperous than the receiver. Do you follow what I'm saying? He will tell you there is he that withholdeth more than his meat, and it tends to poverty. He said, but there is he that scatters, but he increases. Do you know that that is a sound principle of economics? Everybody who has tried to get always becomes poorer. It is the man that gives and gives and gives that becomes richer. Now, you know, I always say the problem with Christians is that when you say give, they think that we have to dance to the front of the altar, singing Abraham's blessings are mine, and drop a piece of naira in an offering basket. No. Henry Ford became one of, in fact, till today, he's one of the greatest Americans that ever lived. Henry Ford. Listen, I read in a magazine an award that was given to the greatest entrepreneurs of all time. They gave to three people. Number one, Henry Ford. The other two people got the award because they have subclasses overall. This American university, the greatest entrepreneur of all time, they gave the award to Henry Ford. The other two people were, number one, they had this segment, except for the greatest woman entrepreneur of all time, they gave to Mary Kay Ash. Then they said the greatest minority entrepreneur of all time in America, they gave to Johnson, the founder of Ebony. Let me tell you the life of the three of them, talking about giving. Henry Ford said, cars must be so cheap that anybody should be able to afford it. So he went, broke his back, did everything to ensure that the cars were cheap. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, the man came out to give. And the man was strong and became great until he became the greater of all all car makers. And decades down the line, he was honored as the greatest entrepreneur of all time. Why? He came out to give. I have read the story of Mary Kay that she wrote herself. She said that Mary Kay Cosmetics was never founded for money. He said it was not as if money was never a consideration. He said, but the central goal was to improve the lives of women. Most of the profits of their on their cosmetics, they give to the people that sell it. For every $10 they sell, the one that gets to the company, as far as I am concerned, after weighing it, cannot be up to a dollar. They will have given the money to the main person that sold, the person that brought the person in, and their overall boss, who are all independent people from the company. Because according to her, it was not about money. I read a story. She said they noticed that one woman was always buying the cosmetics. So they decided that she was using it wrongly. You know, most people say, just be selling. She said, we are selling. No. What did they do? They phoned her and said, please, gauging by the orders you are placing, we think you are not using it correctly. Let us teach you how to use it. You are using too much. Then the woman answered, actually, her husband is using it also. Do you follow my point? Johnson of Ebony started a magazine to have the black man have value in himself, to be proud of being a black man. The magazine was to be able to tell stories of what black people have done. What am I saying? Jesus said, and he's never wrong, it's a correct technology. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I am always trying to bring down the prices of anything that I'm involved in selling. It can be cheaper. It can be cheaper. It can be cheaper. It can be cheaper. That is the central point of my life. And listen, no man has worked like that. You know, human beings are funny. They will never learn examples. That is why he said, they are filled with influences from the East. I have told you, Christians are deceiving themselves when they say 666, the mark of the beast. You will put it on your hand, on your forehead. There is one thing invented by, Motorola. That's what it will be, mark of the beast. Somebody sent it to me, you know. I said, you do understand the principle. The mark of the beast is covetousness and self-interest. Take that from me. Everything they do is for profit. If they don't make money, they don't do it. Listen, this scripture, you know, I was thinking about it last time in church. I said, I should write a book on economics, how to sell. And I won't go to the market. I'll just read my Bible. Elihu said, I will draw my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. What am I saying? God has said something. I know it can never be wrong. You know, we always used to think that when God speaks, he will confirm his word. That is correct, but that's not even the issue. The issue is that what he says is true. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Look, it's like if I tell you, Kingsley, I will give you 1,000 naira. And I will confirm my word and give you 1,000 naira, all right? But if I told you that inside your jacket pocket is 1,000 naira, it has nothing to do with whether I am confirming it or not. I have discovered that inside your jacket pocket that you hung in my sitting room is 1,000 naira. When Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, he's not going to confirm that word. It's unnecessary. Why? Because the word is a fact. You know, after preaching this thing, I was listening to my pastor in Lagos, Pastor Kwaji, on the tape. He said the landlord of the property where the church is situated told him that people say they don't have capital for business. He said the best way to start business is just go and do it for somebody for free. If you want to start a car wash, go and wash somebody's car for free. He said, just do it. Now, he was preaching about the principle of seed. Now, that's another issue. Sowing and reaping is a law. Listen, when they asked MK Wabiola, how are you sure you will win the election? He said, I have given to Nigerians. They will give back to me. Despite the fact that God did not want him as president. Listen, no, spiritual things are interesting. God couldn't stop Nigerians from voting for him. He allowed them to vote to show that indeed they voted for him, but just that the vote didn't bring anything out. Why? Because the man started giving not to become president. While he was giving, I heard that the man has a law. He doesn't say no when it's a money matter. Why? Because he said he has been poor and he knows the impact of poverty. So when you see somebody in need who is going to die because he doesn't have money, compassion moves inside him. And there's another principle there. I have told you all this giving that people do in church because they are in need does not ever get anything from God. Believe me, I am telling you. is scriptural. It must not be of compulsion. I was reading something about vows. It said that you have vowed voluntarily. Listen to me. The seed that will get a harvest with God must be done freely. And there is nothing you will sow freely that you will not reap. It is a scriptural principle. It is not that God will confirm his word. This works in business. It works in everything. Do you understand the point I am making? Look, God said, why will my people not experience it? Because they are not walking in my light. Isaiah chapter 2. Come, house of Jacob. That's verse 5 I'm reading. He said, let us walk in the light of God. God has abandoned you and not allowed you to have wisdom because you are filled with influences from the east and you have become like soothsayers. He said, you have become soothsayers like the Philistines. Now, let me explain what that means. You know soothsayers? People who prophesy what will be. That is, instead of you to look into the word of God and into your spirit to speak a proper word about the situation, like every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every unbeliever around, you are saying Nigeria is doomed. There is no future for anybody in this country. You are a soothsayer like the Philistines. That is why God has hidden his face and has not given you wisdom. If you will speak the way God wants you to speak, where you are standing there, God will give you an idea. Now listen to what I said earlier. God created with... Don't you get what I'm saying? What he's giving you is the same thing he used to create. It's just a small dose. That is, God said, when I wanted to move the sea back, this was what I did. Now, you want to clear the swamp. Do you follow my point? Maybe you will see land. They say it has no value because it is swamp land. So they are ready to sell 1,000 square meters for 500 naira to you. So God says, no problem. Now, this is how it goes. It's not as if God will whisper to you, my son, thou shalt buy the land. No. You will be studying and God will give you an idea of how to clear swamp land. Then you will research on the idea. It might take you a few years. Now, notice this. God did it like this in a second. But he has slowed the process down. You are going to get over a few years. Then when the wisdom and understanding has been established in your mind, you will go and say, let me buy that. And they say it's a waste of money. Say, don't worry. Then you will buy 1 million square meters at 500 naira per square, for every 1,000 square meters. And then you will put your wisdom, listen, which was the same wisdom that God used to move the sea aside and bring up dry land. Do you get what I'm saying? That same wisdom moves the water back and brings dry land out of the swamp. Then you say, everybody return and buy. Except that this time around, after what I have invested, 1,000 square meters is 500,000 naira. And listen, it cannot fail. No. It cannot fail because if it were going to fail, then when God said in Genesis, let the waters be gathered and let dry ground appear, then that one would not have happened. Do you understand what I'm saying about sound wisdom? Now let me go back to what I was saying. Where were we earlier? Proverbs chapter... I want to stop now, but let me just finish what I was reading. Proverbs chapter 2. So he said he has reserved sound wisdom for who? For the upright. So I was explaining that sin is not as if God is angry. It is just that it prevents a woman from getting that thing that God wanted to give him. Let me give you another example. I told people can argue, did God say we shouldn't marry two wives? I said at the end of the day, he allowed Solomon to experiment. And Solomon said, I have found that there is nothing better than for a man to rejoice in the wife of his youth. Do you get my point? Listen, nobody can prove it wrong. It is the word of God. Now, it is a scientific fact. What I mean is that if you did an unbiased study, you will find that it is the best thing that a man can do for himself. Scriptural. Wisdom is what God used to create the earth. That same wisdom is what he will use to enthrone his children. And that wisdom is available. It can be proven scientifically. To them that have understanding, they will see that God is not just confirming his word. It is a principle by which he created. But he said, I will give it to the man who walks in integrity. Because of my time, please let me end. I want to stop now. But in business, integrity, we all look, there was one man I read about, I saw it on TV. He started a company, a successful marketing company. And you know the name of the company? Integrity Marketing. Because they found that most people want to market, they lie to people. So he said, why tell them lies? Tell them the truth. So he found a marketing company called Integrity Marketing. It was so successful, they did a case study on it as I was watching it on TV. Look at this woman, Mary Kay, I was telling you about. One of the things that interested me about her company is that they have a 100% money-back guarantee on all their goods. They have such highfalutin claims as age fighting that this cream fights aging on your skin. But they say, use it after buying it. If you are not satisfied that it's working on your skin, return it, we'll give your money back. That is integrity. We allow God to indeed give them the wisdom to fight age. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? This wisdom is there, loaded, kept. The influences of the Philistines, the influences from the East that men are going after is the reason why they will never succeed. People will tell you, this everybody is doing it. God says, do it like that. Eventually, economists will find out that all of you are idiots. That the best man did it the right way. That is, he was wise in that he never cheated anybody. Nobody cheats people and prospers. No, it's not because God is judging him. It is because the laws of this life is that he cannot prosper for life. Look, time has gone. So let us end our message here and we'll continue next time. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you because of this day and your people that you have chosen to hear your word and the people who are